sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks. I'm here with Stephen Rooney of St. Paul's and Antrim Herders. Stephen, how's things with you?
Not too bad. Just trying to get back into the swing of things after Christmas and just trying to do a nice run here and there and trying to get caught
up. Get the 5Ks back again.
5Ks, no. That's, I can't remember the last time I've done a 5K, but I'm not sure the time would be too good.
So I suppose like this, when we're chatting here now, it's January time and like normally you're gearing up for the start of the National League and that there sort of thing, but you've actually just come off the end of a championship run there only last month too. Like, how's that been? I suppose the break was welcome anyway after a pretty probably emotional season, like with everything that went with it.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's probably the break came at a good time because, you know, we played the final on the 13th of December and then Christmas followed. So it was probably, you know, Christmas is probably the time you spend most of your family throughout the year. And it did definitely feel at a good time because once that was over, it was kind of you're into the Christmas break. I was off work for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and you got to spend time with family. You know, normally when you're playing, like, I don't see the girlfriend, you see her for a couple of hours at night, and then you're going to bed. So it was actually good to spend kind of that valuable time kind of with them before the new year. But we knew once the new year was over that we're going to have to just get back into it because we knew the National League was going to start up. But now another spanner's into the works and the date's been pushed back again, so we're kind of just sitting ducks at the minute.
Yeah, and the I suppose like whenever you were, so yeah, you mentioned obviously the 13th and the final and that, like, well, obviously there's a bit of celebrating that to be done after that, but you, I take it you were already plans in place, here's what we'll do in January kind of thing, you know, leading up to Christmas, like you were kind of knew a kind of go back date at that stage.
To be honest, we didn't look at, we didn't speak before the game. You know, it was the last time we spoke was on the 13th. You know, we didn't look any further than the final. So when the final was over, you know, we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we, like, fair play to the management, like, we'd probably deserved our downtime over Christmas. And we were given that kind of responsibility to enjoy yourself, but not too much. But, you know, everything the management were doing was in guidelines with, you know, the dates that were provided. And it was midway through January, I think, that you're supposed to be allowed. And, you know, we were going to start back on that date, but now that's been pushed back. You know, there's other arrangements that are going to be put in place, you know, and it's so difficult. Like, yeah, you wouldn't want to be a manager in this environment. It's just so like unprecedented times, and around every corner is just another challenge for them. But, you know, we're just waiting at the moment. We're doing individual things at the moment, but that's just, we'd probably be doing that anyway, you know.
Yeah. But and I think probably even the year just gone, obviously there's a big break in the middle of the year, and I actually probably gave everyone had to learn, you know, there's, you know yourself, there's boys who are better at independently training themselves than others, you know, there's others who probably need that team environment, that group environment. So actually going into 2021, you're probably in a better place to kind of take on that bit of independent training if it was needed.
Yeah, and you know, this is like round two of the first lockdown. You know, we had to do individual training at the end. So, you know, everyone's been through it. And, you know, I was actually talking to a couple of lads and I was like, God, this is just like deja vu, except the first time we're running in shorts and short sleeve jerseys. And now it's, you're wrapped up with a snood and you've got your hats on. But it has to be done. And, you know, we've done it before, so there's no reason why we can't just do it again.
Just on 2020, so like if it just went straight to the final, because I know obviously the campaign itself had that big break in the middle, but the final itself was funny because actually, obviously, yeah, look, there's always there was the comments as well, like, you know, after the game from Donald Logan all talking about the performance of the final, but actually probably wasn't the strongest performance of the year, because actually if you had watched the entire year, if he had anyway, you'd have seen that like Antrim were, you know, swatting teams aside the whole way up to that. What was it like in the final there playing Croke Park, empty stadium? Like, how was that experience for you? Because you would have played there in the Christie Ring final, isn't that right? yourself?
Yeah, we. But I was. That was the first time I played in Croke, was the Cristaring final.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Carlo kind of beat us handy that day. Wasn't probably the best experience to have the first time out. But I definitely have to say, it's probably just because there was no crowd there that, and I could definitely tell, even in the change room, the environment, the week leading up, that there was like kind of a relaxed feel. And like, I know myself that I was nowhere near as nervous as the first time playing Croke Park. And I think that was just down. My nerves wouldn't come from like the opponent, but just the crowd, the atmosphere is completely different. And, you know, I just knew that, like, we had the beating of Kerry, we played them three times previous, and that if we kind of just brought the same intensity. So kind of then that kind of, I don't know if it wasn't, I had no nerves, I was just a lot more confident probably. But you know, the way Kerry played on that day was they kind of dropped two men back, and as I've said this before, but it's nearly as a defender, as soon as you see them dropping people back, you kind of say, okay, we have a bit more freedom in the back. But then inevitably we have to then, if we have the freedom with the ball at the back, and you're probably going to get on the ball a lot more, you have to use it well. And we knew that if they had two men back, that we couldn't just be lumping ball down on top of those guys. So the use definitely out of the back had to be a lot more crisp. And it was great that Paddy Burke was able to just sit free, especially protect the front of the goal, because our last experience in Croke Park against Carlo, you know, they hit us for, I think it was four or five goals. And, you know, we knew, and Paddy was playing that day as well, that if any ball went over our head on the 13th of December, that everyone was getting back to defend that day. So as soon as they kind of dropped people back, we kind of knew, okay, we can kind of control this game a bit. But, you know, they put it up to us, but so fair play to them. But.
And that was really noticeable as well, the way you were playing that there in the opening part of the game, because like the amount of ball that like Clarke and that was getting onto into the corner, like it was measured passes, very deliberate placed. And then, I mean, when you're playing that there and then all of a sudden you're point down at half time, you must be thinking, what, like, how did this even happen, really?
I know, but that, we definitely showed a bit of resilience, I thought, even at half time, we were a point down, and, you know, maybe there was a few harsh words said, but there was still that confidence I felt, even though we were a point down. You know, we knew that we were going to have a purple patch again, and you know, that happened straight after half time. There was a reaction there from the players, so that was huge. But, you know, we just knew that we could push on probably in the second half, and we kind of just instilled that confidence again. And we knew that we were a better team, and that if we tried to just keep probing and probing, that we probably would get a goal, you know, and we were millimetres away from it.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. But it was good. Our forwards just kept working hard, and, you know, we had so many forwards that could come on and impact the game. And, you know, having someone like Big Donal, where a game maybe with a short ball and the quick ball into the corners might not be working as efficiently, having someone like Donal and Neil with a physicality to be able to just put the ball down on top of them, that kind of put Kerry under a serious amount of pressure in the second half. So that kind of changed the game, you know.
Yeah, it was like, it asked a different question of them. Like, and even when I was chatting to Donal about it, and he was saying, look, you know, I'll win a different type of ball and hand it out to the Clarke or someone, you know, like, and it just kind of gave it a different dimension. What about playing them for the fourth time in a year? Because, like, obviously, you know, you go into a game like that, you know, watching, haven't seen the other games, you think, yes, okay, there's evidence there that we can beat Kerry because we've beaten three times already. But there also is that kind of thing probably at the back of people's minds of, this will be the time where Kerry actually, you know, put up their strongest performance of that there. What was it like kind of for you? I suppose you were just looking at it as another game, like.
Probably the first three times we played them, they probably played the same way. They liked to carry the ball out to try and get, like, Shane Nolan onto the ball, trying to put good ball in. But we knew, fine rightly, that in the final they were going to try something different. They had to. And, you know, just seeing a couple of articles or videos of their manager speaking, like, it was evident that they were going to do that. And, like, I obviously knew they were going to try and drop someone back, because, like, the last couple of times we played, we scored goals.
Yeah.
And you knew if they stopped us scoring the goals, that they'd be in for a chance. But I said before that I was just always confident that we'd beat them. We beat them three times. So, and then a couple of people, there's always negative people in your ear saying, oh, they're going to get you once. But,
yeah.
But, you know, that was just, it's more mental to go, I'm going to get over the line again. We've beat them three times, so why can't we beat them a fourth time? So it was good character from the lads.
Yeah, and then actually you mentioned about the goals that you've been like hammering in the goals like over the course of the season. It wasn't even just the Carrick, like the Westmeath game's obviously a big example of that, the Carlow game and all that there. From like that's obviously something that's kind of come from the, you know, the way that the forwards are playing and probably the direction they're given as well. But like, have you noticed a real kind of difference throughout the team in terms of how you're like say distributing the ball and all those types of things like that have kind of helped change that kind of style of being probably more ruthless than ever this year or last year at this stage?
Yeah, you definitely do. You notice it definitely playing in defence, especially in the full back line, where, you know, when you're playing the full back line, nearly the first thing that's in your head is get the ball away from the net.
Yeah.
But then it's nearly a confidence thing that when you have the ball that you have to keep possession, and you can see it evident between even nearly every team in Ireland is trying to incorporate this style of play where possession is key. And as a defence, especially playing cornerback, that there's a good opportunity from puck out, you're going to get the ball. And it's nearly just trying to retain the ball, keep possession. And it's not, but then there's an opposite of it, don't overdo it. And, yeah, you know, try and get the forward into play and give them good delivery. And then when you're saying about the forwards, how much they've nearly improved. And like I said, there's loads of people before that training, like every single night, no matter who you're marking, it's just you're constantly on your toes. Like, no matter who you're marking in that forward line, it's just they're constantly pushing each other, and it's good. I love, like, obviously seeing the lads do well, but in training I would sometimes get frustrated at the fact that, you know, these guys are going at you, and they're going at you again, and they're going at you again. And it's probably better at us in defense, but it's just unbelievable to see the kind of standard that those forwards are pushing each other. And, you know, on any given day there's probably 12 lads there who could take any of those six positions. And, you know, marking these guys and training every night, you can just see what they're capable of. And gold is probably one of the key things that, like, maybe this team is different in a way that, you know, if there's a slight chance of a goal, like, the forwards go for it. And, you know, marking that in training is like the last thing you want is someone getting the ball and going at you every single time. But it definitely, it opened my eyes, and I've told loads of people this, that, you know, in training, like, the forwards you're marking are just serious talent there.
Yeah, I was reading, you did an interview with Irish News earlier in the year. It was the first week of March, and you're talking about the kind of targets, but it was the week before lockdown hit. Like, it was just the funny that, like, what we know now versus then. Yeah. And like, even some of the footballers I've been talking to, obviously they had, you know, what happened then with the hammered Limerick, and then they were going about to play Wicklow, and then that was all called, and they were probably on a good run there, whereas yous kind of were on a good run as well. What was that then, like, what was the important thing for yous at that stage? Like, I suppose it was thinking yous are on like such a good momentum there from the first quarter of the year, and how did yous try and maintain that going into the business end, obviously with a league final to look forward to 6 months later?
Yeah, it probably comes back to just the individual training that, you know, you're being prescribed these runs that you have to get in certain times, or, you know, there's a certain effort that has to be implemented over this lockdown. And like, I done that interview, I remember it, on with the Irish News, and it's like the innocence of it, and you're saying, oh, we're going to go to the league final, we're going to do this, and then the next thing it's cut off, and it's like everything stopped. And it's not even just sport, it's like you can't go to a restaurant, you can't do anything, you can't even go to the shop, you have to line up in a queue.
Yeah.
You know, it was completely strange. But then, you know, we knew that we had momentum, obviously, leading into that week for the final, or the league final, and that we had to just maintain it. And that probably came, you know, that confidence that we had built up probably stood by us during those, you know, like, tough times, even though the weather was nice. And, you know, it was a late nights you were doing it in, but we knew that every single person was bought in. And we could see that, you know, that every single person was doing the training. We were shown that every single person was putting in the exact same effort. And it nearly became competitive in a way where, you know, people were putting in times and you wanted to beat it. So even though we were training alone, there was still that competitive edge to it. And it's probably something that, you know, the technology that we have these days about Strava and, you know, GPS, that, you know, even though you're training alone, you're still pushing each other on. And that was definitely evident when we got to the end of the season and we played that league final, that I think, you know, the momentum that we built up, it didn't fade one bit. And we probably were better off playing that league final when we did, because You know, I don't think Kerry brought anywhere near the same intensity that we did, and I probably put that down to the effort that the lads put in over the lockdown, you know.
Yeah, and actually that league final is a good example of kind of what you were talking about from the Joe McDonough final, where it was, you know, you then went in at a point down and you were probably more confident than ever that actually, yeah, we can still go out. Whereas maybe in the past, you know, any team that goes in a point down, whereas the league final is an example of you being hit by a goal. But then instead of dropping the heads, like, got a goal straight away. Like, you know, like it kind of reacted straight away. And like, I suppose that's just another example of kind of when you've had to do it. Maybe it is that kind of character maybe that you're talking about there.
Yeah, definitely, and that's probably something that every Antrim team I've probably played on, that, you know, if a goal goes in, the head goes down. If you're down at half time and you should be winning, you know, there maybe wasn't that change of like attitude nearly, but with this team it's just completely evident. And that's not just the 15 lads on the pitch, it's the management, it's the physios, the background team. Like, there's a massive, massive kind of positive attitude towards, if we're down, we can get back. And, you know, probably something we lacked over the last couple of years was putting in performance after performance. We might have had a good performance and then struggle with the next. And that's definitely a massive change that, you know, you might get a good win, but it's how do we kind of next week get another win, and how do we kind of build momentum? And in that final, you know, when we were point down, I said it before that I was confident, and I know that the vast majority of the lads were still confident you'd go out and do the job.
Yeah, and it's probably about kind of getting that bit of a elite culture, like that within the squad, that is kind of, it is just the kind of the expectation, like that competitiveness between everybody, you know, like that there is kind of the way, and competitiveness for positions as well. Like, you look at the squad, like a lot was mentioned about, you know, the Westmeath game, for example, where, you know, short about five or six players, and just, you know, it wasn't a problem. The lads were there to step in.
Yeah, that probably Westmeath was probably the, it showed the strongest character of the team. There was probably a slight edge, even though we were still confident that we could beat them. There was obviously kind of something in the back of the head saying, okay, a couple of lads have COVID, a couple of lads had the isolate, we're down a couple of numbers here. But I've answered this before, that was definitely the biggest game for us. You know, that was going to show us as individuals that everyone on that panel is worthy, and every single person is like wants to play. And, you know, like Clarkie played that day and hadn't played leading up to that, and he was fantastic. And I've been marking him in training, and I've seen in the weeks leading up to that how good he was. And when I knew he was starting, I was telling guys, just watch Clarkie, because like, I've been marking him in training the last couple of weeks, and I've been lucky to get a couple of balls off him, and if I'm getting him, it's because he's missed him.
Yeah.
But I was just so happy for him nearly, and he was given his opportunity, and he absolutely took it.
Yeah, and it just set the tone, really, didn't it, then? Like, that was just the tone set, and then it's kind of, you walk into the next week and you're thinking, right, you know, this is something we can keep going, that momentum. I want to just ask about when you first went in. So you went in 2017, is that right? Was that your first year involved?
It was the first year, yeah, I started playing. I was in with Kevin Rand for a while, but then I kind of fell away, and then it was 2017, basically, that I was there full time.
Yeah, and like, how was that for you, that integration? Like, you know, how did you first settle in with that, and like, how were you approached for getting involved there? Because, yeah, your first time, and 2017 was the league winning season as well, wasn't it? It's not right.
It was, yeah. That was the year we went up to Division One for 2018, and that was the year we played the Christy Ring final.
Yeah.
But initially, I think there was an in-house game in 2017, and I was asked to come along. And Sambo Moody, Gary O'Kane, Neil Peaton were there. And I can't remember much about it, but I remember being asked to come along. And then, you know, it was, okay, you're going training on Tuesday. And then it kind of stemmed from there, really. But, you know, the vast majority of those lads, I all knew them playing on the team.
Yeah.
I had trained with them before. A lot of the lads from St Mary's, Ballycastle, just I knew them. And the vast majority of them around the same age.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a strange place for me to go or to be. So, yeah, basically, That's how I started.
Yeah, and they, like, I suppose whenever you're getting involved there, like you mentioned, obviously you would have a lot of experience playing with a lot of them anyway, from, say, St. Mary's of that there, a lot of boys from the Johnnies, and not, you know, like, you would have kind of had that kind of experience. And I suppose when you're looking at it and you're going in and playing, or going into an in-house game like that, are you thinking, okay, you know, having previous minor involvement, you know, before that there, are you thinking kind of, I don't know, like, if you're going into a game like that, is there a lot of pressure you put on yourself for that there in terms of the performance there? Because you, even when you mentioned about going and playing Croke Park, it's not necessarily the opposition that makes you nervous or anything like that. It's kind of the stuff that maybe comes from yourself.
Yeah, but it's probably just about going out and expressing yourself. And I think that every time you go to a field, if I'm playing for the club, it's just you're going out to express yourself and you try your best. And that's something that I would tell kind of the young guys in our club, that there's kind of, okay, there's an inner pressure that can affect performance, and there's an outer pressure like management or the crowd or whatever. But I definitely think that, I'm probably going a bit off point, but it's definitely comes from like within yourself. If you want to, if I'm playing for a Division 3 team with St. Paul's and I want to play for Antrim and you're given an opportunity, like, you have to take it.
Yeah.
And that probably just comes from within. It's maybe a psychological thing that, you know, if I have this opportunity, you know, I have to take it.
Yeah, and what about, like, even since then, so the years after that, so maybe not 2020, because you can't really compare that season to any other season, really, because it's obviously the nature of it, but, like, you know, what's kind of changed since then, like, within that Antrim team? Like, obviously Darren Gleeson involved this year, he was involved last year as well, in a different capacity, like, well, how has the team and the squad evolved? And there seems to be, like, you know, it seems like in recent years there's been less of a turnover, you know, of players, say, maybe compared to previous years, and surely that can only help.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. From 2017 until maybe this year, there's definitely been a massive switch in players you're playing. And probably the age profile has went from being high 20s to low 20s. And that definitely brings a freshness to it. Like, it definitely does. And, you know, when I first started, you had some group, like, highly experienced players. Some like Paul Shields, probably one of the best hitters Antrim ever had. And, you know, when there's these young guys coming in, and it's like the likes of, I always use this as an example, it's like James McNaughton. When James came in, I always thought of him as being the same age as me, but he's actually 4 years younger than me. And I always kind of like, you can prove yourself. But James was on that team in 2017, and when I see the difference in him within those 3 years, it was just huge. Not only like his hurling, but his speed, his strength, you know, it was a huge difference. But the changes have definitely came from, I think it's, I don't like using this word, but a professionalism. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not a professionalism in, like, we still have the physio, you still get your food after training. The training's still the same, you're pucking the ball. But it's probably just the energy that's brought to it. And, you know, when Darren first came in under Neil Peaton as a coach, you could definitely see the kind of professionalism that he wanted, and just the excellence nearly that he was requiring from everyone. And then when he came in as manager, you could definitely see that he just wanted to take it to another level. And, you know, we're having a good young team, and of course we have experienced lads as well. You know, that mix with Darren and that kind of attitude that he's kind of enforced in everyone, it's a recipe for something good. And not that we didn't have that before, and I'm not saying that we didn't. Every manager that I've had playing for Antrim has been great, but definitely this year, just the attitude and the application that the players have given Darren and that Darren has given the players, it's working.
Yeah, it's that kind of, I suppose, that winning attitude and that whole thing of, he, you know, he's been there and done that kind of, you know, with himself and all in his career. You mentioned obviously playing for St. Paul's there, and like, 2020 was a successful season for you in the end, like, and actually that, the way any player I've talked to, I know even myself, whenever the club was just announced and it was back on again, it was like the best thing anybody I've talked to, they've said it's the biggest turnouts they've ever had at training that first night back and all. For you though, going into that 2020 campaign, you said the 2019 final, you said been beat by Gorton and Mona, so I suppose there was probably a bit of a, we're just happy to be playing the game, but also you've probably had a wee bit of a motivation there of something you just wanted to right the wrong of the year before.
Yeah, definitely. And even though we had the pre-season obviously with Antrim, during that lockdown, well, it was like a mid pre-season, and you were doing individual training. When we found out the club was starting back up, it was just like, happy days, we're going to get a good crack at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had so many people out, and there was people from every corner wanting to play. But, you know, within our club, it was probably, like, when I was going through our club, there probably wasn't the same setup that there is now. And we've loads of young individuals coming through that are good hurlers and good attitude, and, you know, they've good people around them. But when I was maybe playing under 14, under 16 minor, we were amalgamating with Gordon Amona and O'Donnell's to make up a team. And that was no fault of anybody, just to, that was just down to participation, obviously. But definitely, we're starting to kind of bear the fruits of that now. I think on that team, there's maybe four guys just out of minor who are pushing for places, and there's nearly just like a steady influx of players, and probably going to get four or five for the next 10 years for the foreseeable. And that's something probably we didn't have. I think up to a couple of years ago, when I was 24, I was maybe one of the youngest players on the team. And now there's these young guys coming in, bringing that kind of middle ground kind of down towards the 20s again, or maybe even up towards the 30s. So definitely that freshness has definitely, you know, guys in training are looking over their shoulder and saying, what's this young lad doing? You know, my position isn't secured. And it's like any team, once a competitive nature starts in training, you know, people are going to get better. They're going to actually train a lot harder, and the sessions become a lot more efficient, a lot more productive. And then in the end, we went and we won a junior championship. And that's the first medal I've ever won playing for St. Paul's. So that was huge for me. And even though I think we could be competing at intermediate, like a junior medal, and that's the only medal I've ever won playing for St. Paul's, like from under 14 up.
Yeah.
So it was definitely massive.
Yeah, because actually, yeah, because it's the icing on the cake of getting to play even at all. Like, we weren't even sure if we could play at all. But yeah, when you mention it, put it in that kind of context. And I suppose, well, whenever you were playing underage and that, you were amalgamating and all, and then coming up against some of those lads at senior, was that a bit weird? You know, would you have been playing against lads at Gordon and Mona who you would have been playing with underage at senior level?
Yes, there is a couple. There definitely is a couple. But no, kind of once you put your St. Paul's jersey on, neither
doesn't matter.
The other jersey on, you don't really. There's no friendships that stays at the gate.
Yeah. This. I mean, the group stages were pretty comfortable, but the semi final obviously against Cushing Dunn. You know, you're looking at like arguably kind of probably the default or de facto final, like, you know, obviously with between the two years there, Cushing Dunn big favourites as well for the championship. That game, yourself now, so you have a forward role for the club. Like, is that something you haven't always had?
No. Yeah, that's probably no fault of my own. I'd rather probably be playing in the backs. and I'm sure everyone else would go, what the hell do you do in the forward? But that's probably just down to we'd probably have a free taker now, but we probably didn't over the last couple of years. And I kind of, I'm not going to say I'm decent, I'm good at them, but I was kind of given the role and said, right, if you're going to hit the freeze, and kind of give us an option in the forwards as well. But you said that Cushing Dunn game was probably, we knew that was going to be our toughest test. We played them in the semi-final a couple of years previous, 2 years previous, and they gave us a good beating in Armagh. So we knew that was going to be a big test. But, you know, we knew we had a far stronger panel this time around, and, you know, we got the better of them.
Yeah, and it's, and like I said, like, even just you know, that's the end of the like, that's kind of, I suppose, this year or the season just gone anyway, like, there was no provincials or anything like that there, so that was the definitive kind of your last game of the season. You win it and it's over, and it's just a great feeling then. And it's just like a kind of, obviously everyone would like to go on and play in the provincials and that there, but in terms of just, I don't know, tying up a year of kind of the year that it was, like, how was that received within the club and all? Like, I mean, like, you know, because you mentioned yourself not having won many medals before that there, like, I suppose, like, the diehard hurling kind of backing of St. Paul's as well, it would be something that, you know, it would be like a great occasion to take in for 2020.
Yeah, it definitely was. And probably the only way people could express their emotions was just through WhatsApp, because it was still lockdown. You couldn't go back to the club and celebrate. It was a completely different environment. And, you know, they probably still haven't celebrated it in a way that once things maybe open up and you can get back into the club, you know, the club's been lying nearly empty for a full year. So, you know, the only way people could, like, you just haven't seen anyone. Only person or people you might see is like people at funerals or, you know, under bad circumstances.
Different circumstances,
So, you know, probably still have a bit of celebrating to do when we get back with the people of the club, you know.
Yeah. So, looking ahead, the 2021 season, it's a wee bit up in the air anyway, but I suppose, you know, being up in Division 1B now, Clare, Wexford, Dublin, Leash and Kilkenny, possibly, I think, is they're going to be the way the group's going to be made up there. I mean, starting off that there is kind of, you had mentioned it in that Irish News interview the week before lockdown, you know, the Leinster Championship was the target, obviously playing at the higher division is also the kind of target that goes hand in hand with that. Like, how do you approach this then now? You know, you're looking at those teams you're coming up against versus, you know, the previous year, and the Division 2A is tough to get out of as well. Like, how do you approach that? Like, I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, with not knowing when games are going to take place, but what's the kind of feeling, I suppose, going into a 1B campaign?
To be honest, we haven't spoke about it, and personally, I don't think anything is going to change. You know, we took every game as it comes, and you know, as the kind of the attitude that we have is, if there's no easy jerseys going to be given out, and I think if everyone keeps fighting for that jersey that they want, that, you know, I don't think, of course, it's going to be a lot tougher for everyone, but I definitely think that if everyone applies themselves, that you can give any team a good crack. And we've played all these teams before, and you know, if you've played them before, there's no reason why you can't go out with a bit more confidence and say, you know, we've played these guys, they're not that far ahead, and there's definitely going to be games there that we'll win, and that I'm confident of that. And there's definitely games that we'll target and we'll get over the line, definitely.
Yeah, it's all about, I suppose, rising to it. Like, you know, you do what's needed at, you know, Joe McDonagh level, Division 2A, and it's all about then kind of rising to it. And I suppose if you're looking at the teams that you will be coming up against, like the way they would do it, you know, that kind of nucleus of a squad who's kind of had the previous year's experience to kind of use to help them for the next year, it's a kind of similar way of doing it, really.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Like, and I think probably the Leinster, looking at it, it probably won't be a round robin format in 2021. I'm not sure if that's confirmed or not.
I think it might be still play one game.
Yeah.
And go into a preliminary. So I think you're definitely getting two games.
Yeah.
I think the round
robin's
still
scrapped. Yeah. No, it's but look. Stephen, just want to say thanks very much. Best of luck with that, whatever form the season takes. And best of luck with the individual training over the next few weeks. Hopefully we can go out and get watching games and playing games again.
I appreciate it, Connor. Thanks very much.
If you sign up to the SAFcast on Patreon at patreon.com/thesafcast, you'll receive early access episodes and bonus podcasts. Thanks.